Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that, it also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
When you earn your degree online at Arizona State University, you get everything the nation's most innovative university has to offer. The same internationally recognized faculty, the same nationally ranked programs, the same degree. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
What is up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me on the latest Morecast, part of the CSG Network. I am, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. We have some news that came down this week. By the way, the final started yesterday, and the Boston Celtics blew the doors off of the Dallas Mavericks. And I predicted before the series that this would be probably a short one. I have nothing in the favor of Boston, and nothing has deviated from that prediction for me. I do believe that even though the West is a stronger conference, the Celtics are better than most every team in the West, except for I think Denver's a terrible matchup for them, and they would have struggled against the Nuggets. So I think this was the best of all options for the Boston Celtics, and they ended up playing a 5 seed in this is the new NBA is interesting, and this kind of ties into what I'm going to talk about today, which is the NBA media deal, the immense amount of money and expansion, because expansion is coming. Adam Silver hinted at it in his press finals presser last night, and I'm going to get into that a little and talk about how it will make the league healthier. But first, I want to talk to you about Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in a game of blackjack, poker, or unwind with one of our 150 slots games. When I keep saying this when I read for this, you know, as someone who, like me, who doesn't gamble, if I was to do it, I'd choose a place like BetOnline because it kind of has everything, and you don't really want to be going to about 25 different other apps to get your betting on, unless you're, you know, someone who is really into that sort of thing. So honestly, a place where you can do a one-stop shop and get really everything is the kind of place for me. I love it. If I can be able to have access to things and make informed bets if I was to do such a thing. And if you're going to go that direction, I encourage you to go with BetOnline. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is promo code BLEAV, all in caps, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. So Adam Silver kind of talked about last night how the NBA media deal will influence expansion. Behind the scenes, the NBA has known that it's needed to expand for quite some time. In fact, I'd say that the NBA was aware of it going back even 5, 6, 7 years now. It wasn't a consideration before. There was attempts to relocate around 2013-14 that famously didn't go right, and didn't go the way of the people looking to relocate a team, and therefore it was it's been put on the back burner as the NBA figures its shit out. Basically, is the best way you could put it. And expansion is something that the league has needed to do for a long time because the concentration of talent is getting greater and greater. And believe it or not, you don't want that if you're a league. Even in the NFL, its talent is generally not concentrated like it is in the NBA. There's less roster spots. So that means, you know, the influence of the amount of talent being concentrated in the league isn't as great, you know, because there's 50 something roster spots on every team, and that means over 2,000 players or close to 2,000 players plus support staff, all that stuff. It's a different ball game there, and the NBA, the NFL can afford to be basically mediocre play because they're the most popular league in the United States. But coming back to the NBA, the league has been aware that it's needed to do something, and it's the only way you can ease up the talent glut is to create more jobs. Essentially, that's what it is. You need, if you, the more jobs you create, the more diffuse things are and the less bound up everything is. And I do believe that is playing a factor in some of the roster congestion we have been seeing. I do believe that this sort of thing has been part of the calculations that GMs have been making. Because once 15, another 15, and then another 15, you're talking about 30 roster spots guaranteed plus six more. There'll be two teams, by the way. And I've talked about this before, but plus six more two-way contracts. That is a lot of, that's a lot of jobs. And what that will do is ease what we've got going right now. And it'll help ease some of the problems that have been created by the last CBA, because there will be an expansion draft and you'll be able to unload players that way. You can make certain players eligible in the expansion draft. If they're good enough, they'll be selected by a team. This is the way things go. Now, the NBA has not expanded since 1995 in this way. There was an expansion team in 2003 that was the Charlotte Bobcats, but that was a make good expansion. As I've talked about this many times before, but the city of Charlotte tried to forcefully eject George Shinn, who was the owner of the Charlotte Hornets, from owning the team because he was basically a no good guy. And there was some sexual harassment stuff going on, and it was bad. But in order to get around that, George Shinn was going to move the team to New Orleans. The city of Charlotte got together and tried to basically relieve the team. And this is about 2002-ish, 2001, 2002. And what had happened was David Stern stepped in and said, you can relocate the team to New Orleans. And he told the city of Charlotte, you get an expansion team. So that brought the league to 30 teams. And what we have seen since then is there hasn't been a major expansion in almost 30 years. By the end of this next season, it will have been 30 years since the NBA expanded in a meaningful way. And the NBA expanded pretty intently from 1988 to 1995. Now, I've gone over this before. The 95 expansion was a bridge too far. They expanded too quickly. And it really, really made the quality of play in the NBA awful. And that is really, usually it takes that sort of thing to produce a 70-win season. Okay, the two 70-win seasons we've had are the Bulls in an expansion year in 1995-96, and the Warriors of 2016, when everyone was tanking. That's usually what it takes to make it a situation where the league is getting a 70-win team. This will be a little different, even though this will make the quality of play worse. Adam Silver acknowledged that there will be a committee formed to get on in on expansion. I think everyone and their brother knows it'll be Seattle and Las Vegas, unless something catastrophic happens. Those are the two teams, and then we'll have teams shifting from the west to the east. This has needed to happen for a long time, and it's one of the reasons it's needed to happen for a long time is the markets in the NBA became more small market oriented over the course of the 2000s. It was part of a gambit from David Stern. It was the One Horse Town Gambit. And the One Horse Town Gambit was simply this: like Portland and like Salt Lake City, they wanted teams in areas where they didn't have to compete with the NFL. For whatever reason, I don't think, and I think that kind of calculation doesn't matter. I'm not one of these people that thinks that the NFL is always going to be the most popular sport in the world, and excuse me, not in the world, but in the U.S. And honestly, there's no point in trying to avoid being in cities where that NFL team is. It's just stupid. It is what it is. It's a constant. It's like complaining about the sun, you know. So. The NBA went through this gambit where they went from Vancouver in 2001 to Memphis, from Charlotte to New Orleans, from Seattle to Oklahoma City. And what that did was it limited their scope. And you'll see a lot of the ratings decline in a lot of things. And I'll get to the ratings aspect of this in the second half, because Sherwood Strauss, my God. Anyway, the ratings part became less mattering. It didn't matter as much. NBA Finals ratings have basically been cratering since the Lakers run in the early 2000s. So it's not necessarily as tied to that sort of thing. And I'd say the Nuggets and the Miami Heat did respectable considering it's two not big markets. And you had very respectable ratings. But in the grand scheme of things, what had happened was leaving larger markets for smaller markets limited the NBA scope. And I think the NBA, basically as soon as Adam Silver took over in 2014, a decade ago now, there was this understanding that they had made a mistake. And I do think that has been part of the calculus going forward, that the league needed to get into bigger areas. And Vegas isn't huge. It would still be on the lower rung of markets, but it would be a dominant one in the Southwest. And, of course, Seattle is one of the top, 10, 11 markets in the United States. And this sort of thing will bolster the NBA in financial ways and other ways that we don't get to see tangibly. And this is what the NBA has been missing for a long time. It was a misguided gambit. I am happy for the cities that have these basketball teams, but you always know that, say, like the New Orleans Pelicans / they were the Hornets, have always been just really in dire straits. And that's just new to their nature. It's New Orleans is not a big market, and it already has an NFL team. And you see these things go through. Now there's San Antonio, which has great basketball history. You know, Utah has had good history since the Malone Stockton Malone era. So we're talking about 84 on. Before that, it was really sketchy, and that team had moved around the country. You know, the Kings, the fans of Sacramento really support their team. You know, there's places like that. You know, there's a lot of very tiny markets in the NBA, and the NBA understood that they needed to stop this. So I think that's going to help things too. But in the second half of the podcast, I'm going to talk about this media deal and how it's kind of greasing the skids and making it okay for owners who are otherwise not inclined to want to be splitting a financial pie to be more willing to make the league worse before it gets better. And we'll be talking about that in the second half of the podcast.
Some people take the straight path in life. But at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you.
Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Visit us at asuonline.asu.edu to learn more.
Here's to the paper pushers, the rush hour warriors, and the gotta get awayers. Trade the daily grind for a place to unwind, where you can rise with the tide and roll down the boardwalk, where you can eat French fries for lunch and ice cream for dinner, where your only commute is your walk to the beach, where every day feels like Saturday. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at oceocean.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The new media deal is going to be around $76 billion-ish, 77, over the course of 11 years. This is pretty impressive. Now, they did it primarily by having an existing $2-point-something billion deal a year with ESPN being upped a bit, more than a bit, I think it doubled, and then NBC coming in just under, and I do mean just under, the ESPN bid, which is, I've always described this, I'm telling people this over and over on Twitter, this is not a B package, this is a 1B package. And the money that NBC is paying is coming with some expectation. And that expectation is that NBC is able to really feature games. And NBC, unlike ABC, Disney, which has been very reluctant to really feature games on ABC, NBC basically is going to be going all in on having these primetime feature games on Sunday night, which is what they've been doing with the NFL. The biggest product on television is Sunday Night Football. It is by far the biggest and biggest draw of anything. NBA won't be like that, but it will be a feature night on over-the-air cable, which is going to be a game changer. And yes, NBA's had Saturday nights on ABC, but ABC just doesn't know how to feature the NBA. It has struggled with it since they began. If anyone remembers when the NBA first got to ABC, Al Michaels was doing play-by-play, and Michaels had no idea what he was doing. No idea what he was doing and he half-assed his way through it. It just was bad. It was really, really bad. He did call the Derek Fisher 0.4-second shot, which was great. It was a great moment. But he just was, it was clear that he was not comfortable doing play-by-play for the NBA. And they've struggled since then. You know, they've had Mike Breen calling games since 2006. So he's been the primary play-by-play guy since 2006. But in the grand scheme of things, the NBA needed another big feature partner. And that's what they got with NBC. And plus they got the special games with Amazon, which is going to get ancillary games plus the in-season tournament and the play-in tournament. Those things are being going to, you know, Amazon, and Amazon will be able to have, you know, whatever show that they have through them. It's going to be interesting to see how they assemble that. And I've already spoken about how the inside the NBA is likely done, and because of Ernie Johnson and all this stuff. So they need to move beyond inside the NBA. So this is a $76 billion package. This is more money. I mean, the last one was $25 billion, and we were all staggered by that back in 2014. This is beyond that. And what this is doing is going to be allowing the NBA to come in, you know, inflation considering. But what it has done is clarify several things that people had forgotten. One, that really, since the 90s, this has not been tied to ratings. It's tied to inventory and exposure. And this is what media deals are all about. But what it will also do is give the owners an excuse to finally bite the bullet for something that they've been toying with for a half decade now, and that is expansion. Expanding into those cities that I spoke about. And I think that if we are going to be honest with each other, The amount of money that is going to be flowing into the league is going to boost team value. Team value is probably going to result in some more teams being sold, and there's going to be some churn. I've discussed it before, but even in the last segment, the teams are just waiting for this to be done. And this has been part of the problem, and this has been dragging on a bit, because usually the NBA completes this deal within the exclusive rights negotiation window. And so that ended April 20th. And as soon as it went out of that, without a deal for TNT, they had to broker another deal. Now, NBC has been aggressively coming for this since back in 2014, by the way. People forget this, but NBC made a very aggressive bid for the NBA back then, and basically the league just ignored them. The NBA likes to stay with its partners, thus being with ESPN nonsensically for 22 years. So the league got out of the exclusive negotiating window, and it became NBC comes in, Amazon comes in, and bam, you got what you got. And teams are just waiting for this to be completed. It's dead. If you listen to people in the league, they're like, come on, let's get this on. Come on. Let's get this done. We don't need to be dithering anymore. Let's finalize the deal. Once the cap is known, which will begin in 2025, not this next year, but the year after, it'll affect a ton of different things, obviously. But there's cap smoothing, and that's baked into the CBA, but it'll affect a lot of different things. But it'll also affect the expansion. Now, the reason I bring this up is that the reason it's easier now is because the NBA knows what kind of money is coming in. And they know, and usually when expansion teams come in, they have to opt out of revenue sharing. So for a period of time, they have to opt out of revenue sharing. And this in turn, you have teams generating revenue, but they're not participating in revenue sharing. Usually this is for teams that are like on the lower end of the revenue, largely the smaller market teams. All of these tend to opt out of revenue. I mean, they get the revenue sharing. Expansion teams coming in, they agree to opt out for a certain amount of time, so they know that that won't be cutting into the pie, basically. Plus, they'll be getting expansion fees. And the NBA is, if there's one thing you need to know about the NBA, they need certainty. This goes to teams, this goes to the league office, there's everything. They do really poorly with uncertainty. And as soon as the new CBA came in and people didn't know how to operate, people just stopped trading people. And you notice this last trade deadline was kind of meh. And the only people that came, you know, only team that came out looking like a rose was the Dallas Mavericks. Well, once it's known, it's going to be this offseason. Once it's known, you're going to see teams say, okay, now I can do this based on this. They can operate under those parameters, and they that is the greater financial thing, and they'll know where the cap is because that affects the cap. This is a separate from the CBA, but also part of it. They know that the cap will go up a certain percentage every single year of this deal. So that's going to be, or whatever the CBA is. And I think the CBAs are usually 7 years, but they may have gone 10 years this time. That's going to be, I don't remember that one. Someone can correct me on this. It's either 7 to 10 years on this. And there could be an opt out. Usually the union and the owners insist on an opt out, and usually the owners want it to be either mutual or they get one first, kind of opt out. So you've got all that going on, but the $76 billion will actually help the NBA agree to expansion. Now, another reason of this is because the quality of play in the league gets really bad during expansion years. It just doesn't matter. The NBA expanded in 1988, the offseason in 1988. There was only 23 teams in the league in 1988. Then by 1988 and 1989, it expanded by 4 teams. So it went up to 27. And it took the league not as long as you'd think, because there was a glut of talent in the league. I've spoken to my friend Andy Feinstein about this, both on the podcast and off the podcast, is that one of the best years in NBA history, as far as competitiveness goes, this is the 87-88 season. That's the Nuggets won 54 games that year. We're second in the West. And there was just a glut of just talent everywhere. And that was the first year the Pistons won. And after that, there was a slight, and I do mean slight, dip in 89 and 90. And those are the two Pistons wins. But the league was very strong through the first three Jordan titles. And that's why I consider the Jordan first three championships better than the last three, because the league was in such a better place. Now, they overexpanded in 1995. After adding the four teams, they added the two Canadian teams in 1995, and it was a mistake. It was a mistake to do it then, not where they put them in, which obviously Vancouver lost their team 6 years later, but it's the league needed to wait. And that was something that I think they would even agree that they didn't. And quite frankly, it's been 30 years since they've expanded like that. I should tell you something. So, and it's been 21 years since the Charlotte Bobcats came in, and soon to be the reimagined or re-emerging Hornets team. So, where you are right now is a league that is ripe and ready for expansion. It's just they need it. And as far as Nuggets fans, what you see is what it's going to do is likely move either Minnesota or Memphis to the East, probably both. And the candidates are Minnesota, Memphis, and New Orleans. It's those three teams that are candidates to move east when they inevitably expand to Seattle and Las Vegas. So what you're going to be seeing is a realigned Western Conference, and you're going to be seeing something different. You're going to be seeing different kind of basketball. As someone who's watched the 95-96 season, it won't be as bad as the next, quite frankly, 8 years were after that, because that was bad. You won't be seeing that. But you will be seeing something akin to what happened in 88, 89, and 90. Those 3 years where it wasn't as good a basketball, but it was still high level, because there are so many talented players in the league. This league has needed to expand to 32 teams for so long, and they have put it off and put it off and put it off, and the league has needed to correct this. And I do believe right now we will seeing the play, the 30 new jobs plus the six two-way contracts that'll be coming in. You'll be seeing movement, you'll be seeing less concentration, you'll be seeing roster spots be freed on other teams, because there are only 29 teams in this league. or it's going to be 30 teams in this league. There's going to be 30 guaranteed roster spots coming up in the expansion draft, plus whatever draft they have there. So you're going to be seeing this get better, because right now, it's, think of this as like a series of trains on track, because there's only, you can't deviate. There's no off ramps. That's all one way, or the, you know, it's one way or the other way, but it's one track, you know? And right now the NBA has a log jam. Oh, it's good. It's a good log jam, but it's a log jam, and they need to get some of this freed up. And the more trains they got moving on ahead of them, the more the log jam at the back is going to be able to be free up. The best thing the NBA can do for itself is to expand, get slightly worse, because you get worse before you get better. That's the way things work in sports leagues. And I have no doubt that this media deal is leading to what the NBA needs to do next. Expand, likely Seattle and Las Vegas, and we'll be seeing a new, and I, in my view, a better NBA. All right, thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast. I'll be back soon with another episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on!
Crunch Island. It's Jean-Lit Foot!
And he stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last Crunch Berry!
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries!
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch!
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.